feel that's something going to happen. You know, sometimes when God is calling, we always think, see our shirt. What can we do? What do I have? Like Susan, what can I do? What can I do? What are the best? But actually, we should focus on what God can do. You know, and I saw Cindy on the platform. Oh, I can see it's not Cindy can do, but God can do even better, greater. Thank you. Oh, thank you, God, for the weather that we're living in here. And it's so wonderful, you know. Don't complain about the weather because we only have a few days here. But most people in the East Coast or in the South, oh, terrible. They really enjoy the summer long, long time. And we only got a few days. Please enjoy it.
Hi, I am Frances. Well, I want to share this. Recently, my manager, he took an early retirement, so he left his job. But on his last day, I gave him this book. He is Jewish. When he was young, he was trained to be a rabbi. But now he is not a Christian. So we talked about our belief on and off. His wife is Catholic. But anyway, so this book is called The Jesus I Never Knew. It's a really good book. It took me a long time to read. I'm still on the last chapter, but it's a really, really good book. At work, I have one coworker. She is from Hong Kong. And I'm still at my workplace, and I have been thinking God is keeping me there because perhaps she is my next mission. But it took me quite a lot of struggle. At first, I wanted to give, my boss's name is Gary. I wanted to give Gary a Bible. But then at the end, I decided to give him this book. And even before that, I was struggling a lot because he's Jewish. And I was thinking if he see this book, how would he feel? But I pray that, I don't know, when I gave it to him, I have a strong conviction that God really wants to call his people. And I know his people it's not limited to Jewish people, but God really have passion for Jewish people. Otherwise, he wouldn't send his only son to be a Jew. I do have a strong conviction that God's timing of coming back is depending on the number of Jewish people returning to him. And I was thinking around me who are Jewish, like my neighbor, Margot is Jewish, and there are a couple people, not too many, but anyway, so I don't think I am very active in preaching the gospel, or even sometimes I don't think I am a very good Christian. But within my limited resources, I share, and that's it. May not have a good point.
Anybody else?
I think last week somebody's shared on, no, not somebody's tongue. The pastor shared on the stage. Yes, he said that we go. You know, this church was a great mission, so we have to go. And then he gave us some kind of mass. Said one person get one person to the church. So every year the church is going to have a double growth. That's kind of interesting. And 1 year, you bring one person in the church. So we need to plant seed now because all the seed will grow. But that's really encouraging. So I just reminded everybody that we needed to get seed where we go, to where the seed to go, and that would be a meet to our current book, you know, how to be God intended.
Anybody else?
So yours.
I'd like to ask all of us to read the scripture, Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7. If you have Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, we can look up. Okay, let's read together. Do not be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your eyes in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time because you are here. You love your people. You want them to hear from you, not just some information, but your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think this is the best time in the kingdom of God. Also can be the worst time in the kingdom of God. Depends how you look at it. And wherever I go, I sense people, so many people have the struggle. Pastor Robert Shearer, you know, in the West County Minister Fellowship, he went and the pastor shared their struggle. And I believe the struggle doesn't limit it to pastors, it's to everybody. As a matter of fact, I see what's going on in the United States. God allowed this happen to get attention from all Americans right now. Who's really had the ultimate solution for this nation? Many people are against Donald Trump, and many people for Donald Trump, and whoever is there, even as a president, they have a limitation. Is that right? We see the extreme. We see the far left, far right, the extreme, all kinds of things going on. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, you know, I only have two cars. My both car was broke, window was broken. One car is totally broken. You talk about brokenness. That car was very broken. All the window was shattered except the windshield. And then that was my wife's car, and my car on the driver's side window was broken. And worse than that, the thief stole my business bag, he stole my Bible commentary, he stole my sermon, and he stole my one very good book. I hope he read my sermon, will convict and repent. And he stole Marlene's computer and the backup, how do you call that? A lot of confidential information we need, all gone. So I remember that night I was furious, and I said, I have right to be angry. I was very furious. I walked around. I wasn't praying, okay? I was very mad. I said, what kind of society? What kind of circumstance? And it's very discouraging when Marlene called the police department. They say, with this kind of case, you just go to the website and register your report. You know, sorry, we cannot come help you. We have limited manpower. You know, it's just, I just try to describe certain struggle I have. We all face all kinds of challenge in life, and I think it will escalate because the season, the Lord won't get attention from everyone. That who is the Lord? I tell you, dear brother and sister, I can tell you very frankly, in the days to come, you have to take the word of God literally. Otherwise, very hard to have good sleep. Amen? You have to believe whatever God said. I dwell on Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a very good song. Can we go there and read that? I just very spontaneous. One time, Pastor Robert said, maybe our worship should be more spontaneous. So I changed my sermon today. I don't cover that. I will cover next time. Right? I feel right now we need to heart-to-heart talk rather just come to listen to a sermon. Dear brother and sister, you need to listen to God. God has a message for you. It's not a sermon. How about let's read Psalm 91. This is a very good one. After this, we will have a Holy Communion. If you're concerned about earthquake, you're concerned about whatever will hit you, read this and meditate on that. Well, very helpful for good sleep. By the way, I just want to ask, how many of you struggled with a good sleep in the last 1 month? Raise your hands. Just be honest. Okay, I'm going to pray for those people today. I struggled with that in the past when I have an anxiety attack. It's very difficult. Cannot sleep every night. Okay, let's read together. How about that? This is a gift for you before we have the Holy Communion. Let's read together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow. Okay, let's do this way. Let's all stand up. Let's follow the Jewish people. When they read the Word of God, they stand up with the holiness. Okay, I'd like to ask all the brothers read the verse 1, the sister, verse 2, and rotate, so nobody can sleep this way, okay? Verse 1. All the brothers. This is verse 2, okay? Go back, verse 1, please. Okay, all the brothers. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 6. A thousand may fall at your side. Oh, the sister, please. Angel concerning you to guard in all your ways. On the cobra, you will tram the great lion and the serpent. Okay, can we hold it here? Let's all read this together. This is a promise for those who love the Lord. This one for you. Let's read together. Because he loved me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledged my name. Verse 15. You will call on me altogether. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the end, right? Okay, you may be seated. Okay. I ask you to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything. It's easy to say, easy to read that scripture. How can I not be anxious? But the apostles say, don't be anxious about anything. And then he gives us the prescription by prayer and petition. Is it legit for believer to pray to God, ask for things? If you cannot sleep well, you can pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, very literal, give me a good sleep. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to diagnose this for you. He will tell you why you cannot sleep well, okay? So by prayer and petition first, and then with thanksgiving, it's very important. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know why thanksgiving is so important? I like to get a response from people. Okay, that's good. It's very hard to say, oh gosh, I hate this day, and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Gosh, I hate this day. You cannot do that, right? If you praise the Lord, you cannot be negative. Amen? Okay, so how many of you practice Thanksgiving all the time?
I try.
It's not time for convicting. It's time for confessing. It's a healing. Maybe use the other way. How many of you face a major challenge? I won't call trouble or difficult. How many of you at least face one major challenge right now? Raise your hands. Challenge. What I mean the challenge is difficult. That rob you sleep. I tell you, dear brother and sister, based upon what apostles say here, you should give thanks for that. So may I ask you, when we face trouble, what the world we can give thanks? Why? We need to really work out this, otherwise you won't do it. So Francis, why we need to give thanks even when we face trouble, face a challenge? Okay, I want to hear, I want to deal with a little bit about emotion. I gave my example as a case study. When I found my car was broken, my stuff was stolen, when I feel angry, is that normal? What I mean is, you give thanksgiving doesn't mean you press down your emotion. Do you understand? I can angry for a couple hours, and then after that, I say, Lord, thanks. He only broke one window. He didn't steal whole car. I can give the positive, but I want you to understand. A lot of people, they don't understand this. They thought, oh, here again, Pastor Joseph encouraged us to press down our emotion. No, I don't mean that. I mean, you need to have a thankful heart, even though in a very difficult situation. Amen? But on the other hand, you cannot let your emotion kind of just lead your way all day. You say, oh, I feel so depressed. So I just continue depressed. Then I will ask you a question. Are you enjoying your depression? If you enjoy it, be my guest. No, we don't, right? So people say, Pastor Joseph, you pray for me so my heart can be changed, my mood can be changed. I say, I cannot help you change that. You have to open your mouth. That's our brother say that. He sounds like a military sergeant just now, right? I'm maybe like he's like a sergeant, you know. By the way, I ask, how many of you went to the boot camp? Military training. How many of you have been in the military training? Oh, no wonder. You sound like a sergeant. I've been in the boot camp. You know, my sergeant didn't like me. As a matter of fact, because we are in Taiwan, if you graduate from college, you pass the exam, you can serve as a military officer, but you have to go through a training, 6 months. It's a tough training. First 3 months is boot camp. The sergeant usually graduate from the high school, so they had low self-esteem. They compare with us. They say, you graduate from college. I'll see how good you are. So when I went in day one, the sergeant didn't like me, not because who I am, just because my status. So actually, he doesn't like the first three. I'm taller. I'm the kind of number two tall person in the whole unit. So he torments us all the time. Remember I shared? Reasonable requirement is called training. Unreasonable requirement is called refining. He said, Joseph, I'm going to refine you next 3 months. He just said that to me. And he ordered me to do push-up 50 times. Yes. He can't. So what the world can I do 50? I do 10, I already die there. And then he say, see? What kind of person you are? You know, you are nothing. So it's a kind of boot camp, it's a training. But just now, it seems like our brother here, he's a give praise. But he loves you. My sergeant hate me, but he still trained me, right? But his motivation is wrong. He doesn't want me to become good. He just want to torment me. But Pastor Robert loves all of you. I agree with him. Dear brother and sister, sometimes the most important thing is you have to open your mouth. Some people say, does our God have very low self-esteem? He wants people worshiping all the time, he feel good. He wants people to give praise to him all the time so he feel good. No, I tell you, worship is not for God, it's for you. If you worship all the time, you will never be depressed. That's how I came out when I have anxiety attack. I came out in 3 months. Because at night, I worship all the time like a robot. I don't care if I feel that or not. I just do it. I do it all the time. It really works. After you praise the Lord, you don't feel anything negative. So, dear brother and sister, Apostle Paul say here, right? In everything you give thanks. And also what? First is through prayer, petition. What's the final one? Yes. Our God is very particular, right? You tell him what you need. And he say, God will give you peace. He say that the circumstance, the situation turn out will be surprise you. How many of you had that experience? You are so anxious, so worried about certain things, and the outcomes totally blow your mind. Right? If you agree, say amen. I'm doing healing right now, okay? How many of you know that I'm doing healing right now? You need to look at God and his acts in your life. The problem is many times we don't see it because we constantly bombarded by the difficulty. We cannot. So how many of you really struggled last night, cannot rest well? Can raise your hands, okay? I'm going to pray for that. Before I pray for you, we're going to have this Holy Communion. I just want to encourage you. When you take this bread and cup, it really reminds you and me, we have a loving daddy in heaven. Amen? But he also on earth, through the Holy Spirit, he take care of you, everything. Can you tell your neighbor, say, everything. I want each one of you to find one person right now, okay? You find one person, sit next to that person. I won't process this. And before we take a Holy Communion, find one person, pair up. If you have spouse, you go to your spouse. Don't go with other person's spouse, please. Okay, you pair up, right? Each person has one partner. Nobody with Raymond. Raymond, you need to find a partner. Cannot be alone. All those youth, three of you, you need to pair up, okay? You can, three people, okay? Anybody left alone except me? I'm leading. I pair up with Jesus, so I'm okay. Anyone else? No, it's fair. There's nothing fair in the world. Sharon's brother, do you have someone? Okay. Okay. I want you to tell your neighbor, your partner, say, don't worry. You have a loving daddy. Here's the evidence, right? Holy Communion. Amen? The Holy Communion reminds us we are children of God, right? Jesus died on the cross for us, so we have a new status as children of God. We can really, I want all of you, those people you cannot rest well last night, I want really you give your burden to the Lord today. How about you talk with your neighbor now, the partner, just share a little bit. You say, you know, what are the things I can pray for you before I take the Holy Communion? Please, let's start to minister to one another, please. Okay, I think that you get to know your partner a little bit, right? What's where they are at right now. Now we're going to take the Holy Communion today. But I want you to minister to your partner today. I want you to be a pastor, minister to your partner today. Look at that group, so excited, you know. They cannot stop. It's with Jesus right now. I'm talking to him. You can have a Jesus. You have three people. Okay, you don't come back. You sit next to, yeah. Yeah, you sit next to your partner, and we'd like you to participate in the Holy Communion today, together today, you know, because we, in such an individualistic society, we emphasize self too much. We need a partner, and a spiritual partner. Of course, you have a husband and wife, that's your partner, but you can, with your brother and sister, you can have too. So I want to encourage you today, when you do this Holy Communion, I don't want you to think about yourself. I want you to totally forget about yourself. Think about your partner, what his needs. Particularly your partner, he didn't rest well recently. You need to pray for that person. Amen? You become the minister. And then when you pray for that person with the scripture, I want all of you use Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's wonderful. He said that the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Will guard you in Christ Jesus. You know, even though the situation might be bad, but there's a peace there. That's a true peace. Amen? So let your partner, when you take a breath in the car, let your partner tell you one thing he really need to pray for. Okay? One thing. Only one thing. So you pray and minister to that person, and then follow up with that person. After one day, 2 days, if anything change, then that way, this 27, 30 people become minister. You know, rather just Pastor Joseph. You guys need to be empowered to do ministry. The young people there, you're not that young, okay? You know, Pastor Anton Cruz, he is a student, a children ministry in India. Those children, they pray over people worldwide. Do you know that? They prophesy because they've been trained. Amen? Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I have a testimony on this scripture. As I open my Bible, March 19th, the year was 2000. We in San Francisco, in our church, we had lost our building. We had no place to go. There was a building there that we put a bid on for monthly rent. And it came to a point where they wanted to raise it. And we said, no, that's as far as we can go. And it says, in answer to the intercessors, overwhelmed. We were overwhelmed by the lack of a building. And the question was, who do you believe, God or the flesh? And the scripture that was given to us was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what happened? The people who overbid us for the property, they were going to make this building, they were going to turn it into a nightclub on Market Street. They came in, they made $35,000 in improvements, which in 17 years ago was a lot of money. They changed it, and then they didn't have enough money to follow through. So the people, the brokers, contacted us, and they said, we will take what you submitted. So we got it, they upgraded it, they put in a whole new stairwell for us, and they came back, and we got it at the point. And that's exactly the word that we got, and the Lord told us that. And that was our answer. So when the pastor is sharing this today, and what God said, He's begun a good work in you, and He's going to be delighted to finish it.
Amen. Yeah. So with that, Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, you minister to each other, pray for one prayer request, the most urgent one, and bless that person before you have bread and cup. How about that? With that kind of promise, it can come from the back. You need to be baptized unto the body of Jesus Christ. If you haven't baptized yet, don't take the bread and cup. This is very serious. It's referred to Jesus' sacrifice for us. So from the back, the children, the younger generation, come first. Yeah. Three of you are the one group, right? Bread and cup, yeah. Bread, take a bread and take a cup, yeah. Just take one bread. I think Patrick, I can pair out with you. When you're back to your seat, you start to minister to your partner, you know, ask him for one thing you're concerned, and you use the scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, 6 and 7. You minister to him, pray for him, okay? And after that, then you take a prayer and card together. I'd like you to pair up with this person at least for 1 week, okay? 1 week. I'm going to expect some report next week. God's going to do mighty work. And that's the revival will start. Amen?
Amen?
No more just listen to sermon and go home. Remain the same. You are the sermon. Okay, start to minister to one another. We're going to conclude in 5 minutes. sermon. If you're not convinced your neighbor, they will never come to Jesus. Amen? You just listen to me and you go home. It doesn't work that way. You are the sermon. Amen? Okay, all rise. We have 4 minutes. We have to keep the time. So how do you feel? You've been ministered by someone. And you minister to someone. You get a double blessing today. Amen? Anyone want to give feedback? How do you feel? Anyone want? Oh, you can have the brand cup. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. Earlier when I said to say thank you, now for close, I had to almost be a drill sergeant. But you have freedom in the spirit now to be all the help out.
Okay.
You don't have to say anything. I just want to watch your mouths move.
Okay, let's just freely say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Again, thank you, Lord. Now in your own words, just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the cool weather. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for this father. Thank you for my sister. The healing in your life. Thank you for the love of this young man. Thank you for the leadership of this father. Thank you, Lord.